So thank you for coming to my presentation titled Supervisor Turnover, What is the Impact on Evidence-Based Programs? And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors for their help on this work and the National Institutes of Mental Health for supporting this research project. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So to start, evidence-based interventions, or I'll refer to them as EBIs, have been identified as a means to improve population health in many fields, and they're available for a variety of topics. Okay, I'll talk a little louder. A variety of topics, including STI prevention, healthy aging, sexual health, mental health. And EBIs are beneficial because they demonstrate efficacy under research conditions, and they help to ensure that the services that we provide to clients are indeed beneficial and will lead to good outcomes. But it's well recognized that implementation of EBIs in practice and moving EBIs from research settings into practice settings can be challenging. Primarily because the conditions under which interventions are tested do not always match local context and circumstances. One aspect of this challenge is that EBIs often require competent, trained staff for implementation that have a specialized skill set. And supervisors in particular help ensure that EBIs are implemented with quality and are maintained over time. However, we know that staff change, turnover happens, people hopefully move on to bigger and better things. And the impact that these changes might have on program implementation represents a gap in our scientific knowledge. So the aim of this particular research project was to qualitatively explore supervision changes that were occurring within agencies delivering a single evidence-based intervention named RESPECT, and to describe how these changes of supervisors influenced the delivery of this particular program. Very briefly, RESPECT is a counseling and testing program that aligns with CDC priorities to increase testing and provide counseling to individuals at risk for HIV. The CDC has provided a standard set of protocols to local agencies that encourages clients to identify risk behaviors and make plans to reduce those risk behaviors. And it can be conducted with either standard HIV testing or rapid HIV testing. So this analysis was done as part of a larger, much more extensive examination of RESPECT implementation called the Translation into Practice Study. And it was a national mixed method study of agencies delivering RESPECT where 30 agencies participated. A purposive sampling technique was used. There were two waves of data collection, with the first starting in 2010 and occurring 1 year apart. And qualitative semi-structured interviews were conducted with agency staff, including executive directors, supervisors, and program counselors who were delivering RESPECT directly to clients. And in these interviews, staff were asked questions about RESPECT implementation, any adaptations that they have may have made to the program, reasons for those changes, and about RESPECT maintenance, so on. For this particular analysis, we examined agencies that had supervision staff dedicated to RESPECT. This included 29 agencies in Wave 1 and 23 agencies in Wave 2. Some were lost to follow-up. And we examined a subset of interviews conducted just with executive directors and supervisors of respect. And even more specifically, we examined questions related to supervision changes. And these questions were identified and coded using two different coding schemes. The first was categorical coding, so coding the kind of change that occurred, whether a supervision person was added, which is increase, was lost, which was decrease, or if turnover occurred, which meant that a supervisor left, but the agency either intended to refill that position or did, in fact, refill that position. And then as staff discussed how these changes impacted the respect implementation, these discussions were thematically coded. So, this slide provides a table of agencies that reported some kind of supervision change by data collection wave. Decrease in turnover were reported most frequently, or I should back up. First of all, about a third of all agencies in both waves reported some kind of supervision change. More specifically, decreases in turnover were the most common categories, although we did see some increase, some added positions of supervisors in the first wave, but not any at all in the second wave. And this isn't entirely unexpected, given that the second wave of data collection is occurring in about 2011, which is really at the peak of the economic crisis, downfall, whatever you want to call it. There were three primary themes that emerged from this analysis, and I'll go through each one of them. And I've divided them up into several slides and provided quotes from participants and the categorical coding behind it. So the first major theme that emerged was that as agencies added and lost large numbers of staff, including supervisor positions, it influenced the number of clients that they were able to reach with this particular intervention. So in the case of the first quote, the agency had a substantial decrease of staff, both supervisors and program deliverers as well, and as a result, they were had a significant reduction in the number of tests that they were able to deliver. And conversely, as agencies were able to add positions, both supervisors and respect delivery people, they were able to increase delivery and testing for clients. A second theme that emerged was that as supervisors changed, so did the level of skill and knowledge that was at the agency regarding respect. So as people left, they often took that skill and knowledge with them. It is also often described as problem-solving abilities. But if there were circumstances where other staff were retained and stayed there for a long time, there was a lot of confidence in feeling that even though there was this fluctuation happening, that they still had their core, they still had this solid skill set, that they would still have leadership and stability within the agency. And then the last major theme that emerged was that as people came and went, it changed the workload and the number of responsibilities that were pushed onto other people occasionally. As supervisors left, other supervisors had to take up that workload burden. So in the case of the second quote, for example, someone reported it, you know, in laughter that how much work they were trying to accomplish with the other supervisor being gone. And also, as supervisors were added, that was a benefit because it was able to diffuse some of the workload burden. And this is really important because some of the key responsibilities that got pushed aside were supervision of respect counselors and ensuring that quality delivery of the program to clients, and that ongoing training of respect counselors that was needed to make sure that the programs were being implemented with quality and with and making sure that all the pieces of that program were in place. So, in short, supervision changes were common, and the impacts of these changes influenced both the agency as a whole, other staff members, and the clients who were served by these agencies. Even new staff, which we often think of as a welcome new resource, require a large investment in time and resources before that new person was fully integrated and was able to take up some of that workload burden and be proficient in their roles. And it highlights some of the potential negative consequences that can occur, especially when loss or turnover happens among supervision positions, especially as the agencies try to maintain the same level of service and the same workload burden within their agency. And the staff, especially who are there, are left trying to hold it together. Basically is what they're doing. And in particular, changes may create difficulties in conducting quality assurance and problem-solving activities, which are known in the literature to influence the effectiveness of these evidence-based programs. But retention of long-time staff help to mitigate some of these influences by providing a level of continuity, or is sometimes described as a core, stability, leadership of knowledge within the agency about this particular program respect. So in conclusion, changes in supervisors had substantial impact on respect implementation, and retaining qualified supervisors may play a pivotal role in maintaining fidelity and quality to program protocols for other evidence-based interventions, and it may be a point of intervention for improving how evidence-based interventions are delivered in practice and their quality in practice. And lastly, this is a qualitative exploration, so there are limitations to qualitative work, and more definitive quantitative studies would be beneficial and help further determining the nature of the relationships that are suggested here in this particular analysis. So I have my contact information here if you have any more questions. I'm also currently developing this into a full-length manuscript if you would like more detail about what was in this particular analysis. Are there any? Oh, we're saving questions till the end. Sorry. Okay. Thank you.